This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin there.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night. It's me, Matty J, online with Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson, Mr. David Prince, the father and son, dynamic duo Robin Harley, Edward Bunting, and friend that's eating bolognese next to him, Alex. How are you guys going?
Hey, I'm eating bolognese too. We're both eating bolognese.
Well, all our Italian viewers have just turned off because it should be bolognese.
Bolognese.
So, bolognese. Well, they're Italian, as I said, they've all left the chat. How are you guys going?
Italian girls are listening to this show. Do we have a big contingent?
I can find out for you.
It'd be interesting to know, I suppose.
Where my listeners are.
See,
well, it's been a while since we've had Mr. Prince and Mr. Bunting on the show. Mr. Prince, how is your trip going?
The trip's going really well, thank you. Yes, we're still in Scotland. You may need subtitles. My accent's flawless now.
Or David. Please try and sound like a local David.
I went to the Tesco's yesterday and we had breakfast at Tesco's, which was a bit daggy, but my goodness, I still have no idea what the girl behind the counter said. It was it was very funny. The biggest challenge on my trip so far is coffee, but I think I've stumbled on the ideal formula now. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last time, but I have a deconstructed long black now. That someone called it a deconstructed long black, and I thought, yeah, that's about right. So it's taken all 3.5 weeks in so far, but I think I'm on top of that. So we live in hope.
That's very good. Yeah, David, I want to test your accent. I've got a quote for you to read.
Oh, okay.
It's a very famous quote from a very famous movie.
something about freedom.
It is something about freedom, absolutely. All right, so repeat after me. I fight and you may die.
What was that bit?
Fight and you may die. Run and you will live.
No, I'm going to murder. I'm going to murder when you put on the spot. That's far better when you're in the shop and it's being fired at you. But no, I was actually lying. My accent is pretty crap. But luckily, my daughter's here, so yeah, she a number of times she's actually just interpreted for me, which has been great.
Can you use Google Translate?
I should try that. Seriously.
Well, I'm going to ask you, like, has your daughter like kind of picked up on the accent, or is she still like true blue Aussie?
No. She certainly picked up a bit of it, but I had a go at her, and I said, "Well, what? You've been here 5 minutes." She hasn't. She's been here 7 years now. I think 8 years. but no, with us, you don't even notice it. But she said, "I've got to talk like that if I'm talking to Scottish people, because otherwise they don't understand me." So. Especially if their accent's really thick. So she certainly got a Scottish twang when she's anywhere out, you know, if we're shopping or something like that, or in a cafe.
What words that are different? What sort of, could you give us an example of a word that she said differently?
Oh, she actually puts "we" into pretty much everything. You know, we'll take a wee break, or we'll go for a wee walk, or we'll, we'll only get the wee size this time, or bairns is kids.
Bairn, yeah.
What is bairns?
Bairn.
Bairn. And yesterday we watched the Haar roll in, H-A-A-R. We said, oh, okay, right. And evidently that's the type of fog that comes in over the water from over the Firth of Forth into Edinburgh. It's called a Haar, H-A-A-R, evidently.
I've never heard of the Haar.
and there's a dreck. The weather was really, I'm murdering that too. The weather was really dreck yesterday.
Does that just mean like crappy and dank or something?
Yeah, yeah, and sort of trying to rain, not really raining, but pretty miserable. But you can tell the tourists over here because they're the ones that, she laughed at this yesterday. We went to get in the car and Kath and I were standing outside the car sort of with our shoulders hunched, you know, as the light rain fell, you know, waiting to get in the car. And she just laughed. She said, "You're so up from overseas. Everyone over here just doesn't care now. They just walk around, you know, and get wet. And then they get, you know, then they dry themselves off when they can. Obviously, everything is double insulated and triple insulated and stuff. But so the houses are warm. But once you get outside, it's pretty cool. But mind you, it's going to be 14 today, so that's not too bad. We'll be happy with that. And the sun's out, so that's good.
It's a heat wave.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they are coming to summer, so you'd hope there'd be some double figures around.
Very good. Good to see your lovely face again. We'll get into some car updates. Start with Scotty Doe Johnson. How are you, Scott? What's happening in your car world?
Oh, my car world. Well, I finally got the hubs for the Subaru because I want to change those wheel bearings because they're very, very noisy on the front. So taking the wheel off, getting ready to take the axle nut off, and oh, my God, I don't know how they got that axle nut took quite a lot and a massive breaker bar with another extension I tried to put onto it, like another metal pole that I put into the breaker bar to try and actually bend it. And the whole bar, the breaker bar was actually bending, had a curve in it.
Wow.
And it still wouldn't give way. I sprayed it as well with WD-40. Finally, it gave way. I went, oh, fantastic. Took it off, get ready to put it on, and it's the wrong hub.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah, it's for a Gen 4, but I had a look, I double checked like where I got it from, and it's got all the cars that it's suitable for, and it's saying it's suitable for a Gen 3, all the BE5s and everything. Doesn't matter what BE5 you got, whether it's the B4 auto, manual, even just the non-turbo BE5s and the wagons, meant to be all the same. And the way it is, they've got on the back of the hub, there's four bolts. And all you got to do is undo those four bolts and then that whole hub will come out and put back in. Mine's different. Mine doesn't have those four bolts on the back. From what I can see, it's either somehow the middle piece pulls out or I've got to remove the shock itself and then undo the lower ball joint and stuff. And take this whole piece out, the whole thing out from the look of mine. There's no four bolts behind it like they've sent me. So I'm talking to them at the moment. They're double checking the car. They think that they've sent the right one. And I'm like, well, I think I'd probably know considering I just pulled it apart and can see it's not. There's no way it's going to fit. There's no four bolts. There's no four bolts behind it. I can guarantee you that for me to mount this at all. So that's a pain in the ass. Put it all back together, and I thought I will take a look at my wheel because I spoke to a wheel specialist, and he gave me a run through step by step of what to do it properly. So pulled it apart, scraped all the old silicone inside the wheel. This is the wheel for the R31 for anyone following at home.
Yep.
Scraped, cleaned it all, fresh new bolts that I still had left over. So they all went in and all torqued to the right spec in the right pattern and slowly increased the torque when I was tightening them up. So they should be all the same, all the way around, all fresh new silicone, all inside. Haven't tested it yet with air, so haven't done that yet. So if it does work, then if not, that Sunday was a waste of time. Then nothing was achieved on that Sunday.
Poor Scott.
Fingers crossed. I know. No good.
It often happens in the car.
No good. They were asking me. Yeah. I mean, they'll send me a message about the hub and he's going like, oh, is yours the 206 kilowatt or the 190 kilowatt? And I'm thinking it doesn't matter because it's listed as it fits my car anyway, whether it's 190 kilowatt, whether it's auto or a manual one. Each single one of those models of the BE5 is listed. So it doesn't matter what
I've got.
Exactly. That's kind of what I said. I said, well, having a look at your list of vehicles that it's for, you've got it there for the BEs and BH, which is mine. Yeah. Mine's the BE sedan. And you've got it listed for every single one, whether it's turbocharged, not turbo, the 2.5 litre. You've got it all listed there. It's all the same, and that's what it fits. It doesn't. So either give me a refund and I'll get it elsewhere, or send me the right one, or I don't know, something. Talk to someone that knows.
Are they in Melbourne or interstate? Or
I got here pretty quick. I have to double check. I might be the other side of Melbourne, I think.
Okay.
I have to double check that. But yeah, it got here pretty quick. Sure. So I don't think it's, I think it was the other side of Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And that is my car update. Not too exciting, just a bit of a pain in the butt.
David, have you got any updates being a million miles away, or you're all good?
I can't remember. Did I talk about the Honda E last time I was on? Had a drive of a Honda E.
No, you haven't.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So my son-in-law, Sean, was at work two or three weeks before we came over, and pulled up next to practice regular car park at work, and the guy that parks next to him's got a Golf Wagon R, and a Lotus Elise and a something else. Anyway, this day there was a Honda E in the car park next to him, so he went up to the guy when he went upstairs and said, "Oh, there's someone parked in car space. There's a Honda E in your car space." He said, "Yeah, I just picked it up." So he said, "Oh, my father-in-law's coming over. He's a Honda nut, you know, like he'd love to see it." So I went in and met my son-in-law for lunch, and his colleague Ian was there. And next thing, this little E pulls up outside, and we hop in, go for a spin, which was really cool. And then he pulled over and said, "Have a drive." I said, which I really wasn't expecting, because over here with the insurance, you've actually got to be you can't just let anyone drive your car, because they're not insured unless they're on the policy. So my son-in-law's had to put Sean's had to put a put my name on his policy so I can drive his car and pay, obviously, for the time that it's on the policy, sort of thing. So it's very different to what we do at home. But anyway, this guy was very brave, and we actually drove up the top of Arthur's Seat, which is the huge volcanic sort of outcrop above Edinburgh. And it's a sort of one-way road. So I didn't get a long drive, but it was enough to see the acceleration's pretty cool. They've come down now. There's one that we were looking at the other night online, about just over £20,000. So that's about 38 grand.
I can tell Rob is getting really interested in this. He likes a Honda E.
Well, the amazing thing, as you probably know, they're rear-wheel drive, because Honda realised they're going to be a city car, but the turning circle is just nuts. I've never been in anything other than some sort of golf buggy or something like that that can almost turn its own length.
Right.
Really incredible. And, I mean, who doesn't love an aquarium on your dashboard? I mean, you know.
Very cool. I don't think you get that in the Tesla. Aquarium thing.
No, you just get an iPad and a lot of IKEA looking wood.
Now Rob likes his
Tesla. Other things.
Gosh,
minimalism.
Minimalist. There's the man with 18 cars. I'm a real minimalist. Just open the garage door and I'll show you.
The only other. We hired it. I think, I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure if I told you, we hired a car for a bit of touring out to the west and across to the islands. We had a brand new Volkswagen Caddy, which didn't break down yet, which was good. Diesel DSG. So yeah, having it for a week was better than obviously owning it long term.
Did you use any oil?
But it was.
Is it all right on the?
I didn't open the bonnet and nothing came up, but. It's interesting having the previous shape for work at home and having the new one, which is significantly different. It's got the updated platform, so it's totally different. But, yeah, one of those cars where there's like to change, put the air conditioning on or change the fan speed, you've got to go into the dash, touch all through the points, all through the touch screen to find the climate and then change the thing.
It's
and there's no dial.
It's complicating things.
It was, and it just highlighted the difference so much between the old one and the new one. And I just thought, I wouldn't do that. So I won't be getting one of those anytime soon. But look, it was perfect for what we did. Got over 50 miles to the gallon in the old language, which because it's all miles and gallons over here, which I think's about, I think that's about 4 litres per 100 Ks, I think I worked out. It was great for, you know, five and all our luggage and stuff. And, went everywhere we wanted to. The roads are pretty terrible. I mean, Melbourne roads are pretty potholed, but some of the ones that, you know, particularly out in the country, on some of the little narrow roads on the islands are pretty horrible. And I've read a few reports about people having trouble and getting flat tyres. And, of course, rental cars, it seems, don't have spare tyres.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they get you with the roadside assistance. You've got to actually pay extra for that. So I thought, well, I will be having that because I don't want to be stuck without a spare tyre on the island of Mull and trying to get somewhere where we need to be. The only other thing I've driven is Sean's Kia CGT, which is pretty nice in a really zippy little hatch, but our friend Melissa Wong knows how nice they are. So, and I think he's actually spoke to her before he bought this, but it's been great for him over here, and it's, you know, plenty quick enough and zippy enough, very Euro to feeling because they are built in Europe, those ones. So that's about it. Oh, the only other car thing update, I did go to a Honda dealer the other day, have a poke around. I think I mentioned to some of you, the FL5 Type R's here. I sent Maddie a photo of the beautiful racing blue one. Mm-hmm. Over here, that car is the equivalent of 92,000 Australian dollars. So we actually get them as a bit of a bargain in Australia. And I told the dealer guy that the other day, and he looked really hurt. You know? He was like, oh, well, you know, they've got to transport them a lot further to get them to the UK. Yeah, not $20,000 worth of shipping, I don't think, to get them here. But, yeah, $92,000.
That's for a new Type R over there.
A new Type R, yeah. 72,000 in Australia, 72,600.
That's getting in Australia. Jesus. Okay.
But, yeah, the equivalent of 92,000 Australian dollars brand new over here. So that was surprising. Surprising.
Question, David. Type R or Honda E? What would you go for?
What's that? That Taco ad? Why not have both? You know, if you've got an unlimited bank account. I mean, both would be perfect. The E's a bit cheaper. I think while I can, I'd still have the Type R.
Solid choice.
While we're allowed to still have manual gearboxes and petrol engines. Personal choice.
Is there much difference between their Type R and our Type R, or is it virtually the same car?
I think the only difference would be, I think the over here they've got to have a fog light on at the rear, mm-hmm. so that would be incorporated into the taillight system somewhere. But yeah, they look. I mean, they're all built in the UK now. In Japan, obviously, and so they engines are built in America, but the cars assembled in Japan. So. There's no differences I could see except for the fact you can get the racing blue that you can't in Australia, which is annoying.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. Well, thanks for your updates, David. Robin Harley. Updates with you guys. What's happening? You got your Merc back.
Merc back, yeah. So it's all nice. I put it up for sale.
You're selling it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all clean. It's nice and clean now. Put up on car sales. So just see if we get, you know, price to put up for. And then my friend came around today in his R8 before. 2014 R8 picked up. So for driving that with him. And pretty much it for me.
I went out to the garage, had a look at your car. It was too cold. Closed the garage door, went back inside. I took the Jimny in for its first inspection after, I think it's 1,000
Ks, yeah.
Kilometres. So it took me about an hour to drive up to Burwood from Keilor. And they took them about 15 minutes to have a look at the car and then another hour's drive home. But probably should have taken it as a Suzuki dealer, a local one, but they done the right thing, so I'll take it back to them. Apart from that, there's a lot of things on my list to tick off to do on various cars, but it's motivation.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
I'm going to come around one other night this week, Rob. Don't worry, I'll be there.
You need to get me motivated.
Yes. I'll figure out a way to do that. Mr. Bunting.
Hello. Where did we get to last time? I have sold the Volkswagen Multivan.
Hey.
And I can probably say this now, that bucket of shit is out of my life, which I'm about. And no one should ever buy anything of that ilk. It ended up.
Can I just be Edward Bunting for a second? Look, yeah. I don't like Volksies, but if I had to buy one, and you know what, I always say they make a good van. What happened, Edward? What happened?
They made a good van. Yeah, yes, I hurt myself. Basically, and I can tell the story now in full. It consumed a lot of oil. And when I say a lot, like a lot of oil, but it wasn't leaking out the bottom and it wasn't blowing out the smoke. It was just using oil. So much so that, you know, from the full mark on the dipstick to the low mark on the dipstick, you know, 500 Ks, you know, and it's chewed through its entire sort of dipstick full. Now, there's still oil in the sump. It's quite a big sump, but like it's not like the motor's out of oil at that point. But, you know, I sort of thought it can't be using that much. And I only discovered this by driving around a little bit. And I'd actually sold it, you know, as I said, and I'd sold it. And you know, one option is to shut up about it and continue on with the sale, but I wasn't comfortable with that. And so I said to the buyer, you know, here's your deposit back. I told him what had happened. I said, like, I need to investigate this. And yeah, when I ran some measurements and sort of drove around for another, you know, 600K or whatever, it bang, oil light back on. I rang the Voxy guy that serviced it and said, there's got to be something else going on with this car. Like, it's got to be a turbo oil feed, or it's got to be doing something, a PCV valve. Like, there's got to be some reason it's consuming this amount of oil. And he said, look, I can investigate it. I can go down the road of, you know, checking this and this and this and this. But all of those things that I mentioned, he said, they won't make that much difference to that. You know, if it's using that much, it's an oil burner, and just get rid of it. So look, I sold it through the auctions. Whoever bought it has got it cheap enough that, you know, if they need to do anything to it, there's margin there to do that. And it's a great van otherwise, you know, but she's a burner. Anyway, That's the Multi. But my Lancer, and as they say, ooh, the answer is Lancer. That's a cracker. I've given that a polish last weekend or the one before. It's in at the moment getting the rear bumper bar painted. It was just a bit chippy from loading things in and out. I've given the interior a good scrubbing. It's had a timing belt, oil filter change. What else to have? New tires on it. It's driving really well. That's a cracking car. There's no squeaks. There's no rattles. It goes over speed humps nicely. It's zippy, being the little 2.4 Magna motor sort of in the Lancer. And that was the last reason. Sorry, go.
How much are you after for this, said Lancer?
I'm going to ask on road, drive away, including like stamp duty and whatever, and rego, that'll be, I'm going to ask 8.5 for that car.
Okay.
Which is, you know, maybe at the higher end of Lancers, but 102,000K on it. Like, where do you get that?
Yeah.
Most of them are done 2, 250, 3. And they're good. They're good little cars. But I like that. It's, you know, dual airbags, ABS, it's tow bar. It's a really spacious wagon. The seats fold pretty flat in it. It's grunty. It's a really comfy, nice seats in it, like good bolstering and everything. It's got cruise. So I recommend a Lancer wagon to someone wanting to spend sort of, you know, not that much money on a good little runner. Quite useful. Anyway, so that's the only one I've got on the go at the moment. The guy who's building my Renault engine, we haven't talked about that for a while. He's still tinkering away. I took him ahead. He wanted the springs and valve collet things for the valves, and I had a spare head in my garage, which I took over to him on Saturday. So he's seeing if he can use those on my head sort of thing, because it's a slightly older one and blah, 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 but. But that's ticking along. I'm not in any great rush for it because, you know, I've got no money. So he can take his time on that. The Moke, I pulled the alternator off because I had the first round of stuff that was all done to the Moke. And then I was kind of just waiting in the wings. for some money to come in to do other things to it. But in the meantime, I did take it for a spin every now and again on the trade plate, but the alternator light wouldn't go off, or the charge light, and it wasn't charging, so the light was accurate. For once in a British car, the light was accurate and it worked. And so I pulled the alternator off myself, being very mechanical, you know. And I've just had reconditioned, and I'm picking it up tomorrow lunchtime, and I'll put that back in on the weekend probably. So at least that solves that issue, meaning I can drive it to somewhere to get more stuff done to it. I don't have to put it on a trailer and stuff around. So that's where that's at. Alex has got big news though.
Alex, yeah. C30 and M6, what's happening with those?
And Volvo 164.
And 164, that's correct. You still own that, yeah. Mm.
Made a resurgence. It's finally on Club Reg as of yesterday.
Hey.
Whoa.
After 3 years of trying to get it roadworthy, it's finally passed, and it's finally on the road.
And he sent me a very disparaging message. It was something along the lines of, who would have thought my Volvo would be on Club Reg before your Moke? It's a fair point. It's
you were going to beat me, and it did look like you were.
Oh, if I'd applied myself, I could have beaten you. But yeah, it's remarkable that thing passed a roadie.
I know.
The first time it went in for a roadie check, that Volvo, I ended up, it didn't make the roadie test drive. It died, and I had to tow it home with my Pajero. It not only didn't pass, it didn't drive at the end of the roadworthy check.
I don't know what went to it, but yeah, anyway.
I've got to say, though, the real race is now between the Moke and the 31, of which car...
Oh, that's it. The Moke will be on the road long before the 31. Scotty's had 10 years to do this bloody thing.
There's a fighting word, Scotty. There's a fighting word.
It's just sitting silent.
I'm getting there. I mean, that's all I say, isn't it? It's getting there.
I went to another Japanese car show on Sunday. Oh, that's what I should talk about. I went to Sakura Picnic on Sunday, Scotty, which is one of the Japanese car shows, and still wasn't there.
Yeah.
But David, we missed
that. The weather wasn't very good, so I didn't want to take it out.
It wasn't, but I don't like weather stopping me doing car things or anything for that matter. So I dutifully drove off in the Tarago to Sakura, as did, a few hundred other people. And it was an absolute bloodbath of moisture, I'll say. So we were standing in inches of water all day. My feet were soaking. And there were parts of the grassland where they host it that were just uninhabitable, even by pelicans and frogs. Anyway, I got out in the Tarago, which was my big concern, because that car has no weight in the back, rear-wheel drive. It spins the wheels just looking at wet grass, that thing. I got a bit of a run-up, so I got out just. But it was a fun day still. I met some people and, had a good chat to a few people and, it was just bring your umbrella and splash around. It's kind of cool.
And I believe one of our less conventional friends, Ed, wore gumboots and proved that was probably the wisest choice of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the perfect perfect shoe for the day. I was lamenting not wearing gumboots.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was it was good. It was a good day. Matthew, how's the scamp?
Scamp's coming along, Rob. It's coming along, isn't it? Yes.
Where is Scamp? Where is it?
What's that, Rob?
The rustic's been taken out.
Had a bit of weldage happen to it.
Yeah. Yes.
We tried to get it off. My mate brought around a little pulley remover, but it was still too big. It looks like you have to take the exhaust system off, really, to get to that pulley. So it's a lot more work than first thought. But
is this, Matt, the fan belt type thing that is a weird design? It goes on a 90-degree angle. It's that.
Yeah, that goes over the generator. So there's a generator pulley that needs to come off, and then there's a cover plate that comes off to change the brushes.
Right, right, right.
But to get to that pulley, you need to take the exhaust pipe, which runs right in front of it.
Well, that shouldn't be
or
too.
Have the tool. Well, or the tool. Or have the tool.
Oh, who's got the tool, David?
So we got the bolt out. So the bolt was actually quite easy in the end. We just got quite a large I don't know what do we got like a kind of like a
multi grips, I think it was,
and just held it and then just cracked it off, and it cracked off with a little bit of force. ball came in, they were like, yeah, we need a pulley for this. So yeah, we're going to have to sort that out at some point, but that's all right. The rust is the main thing to get me through right now. But that's that. What else have I done on cars? I haven't really done much, to be honest with you, this last week. Just had a whole bunch more idiots message me about the LTD, and I'm just flat out saying, yep, come look at it, and then I get no response. So I'm pretty much...
Can we confirm or deny that that your MR2 is the one that's being used in the Australia's representation at Eurovision this year?
I was just about to say that I officially own the coolest car in the world. Have any of your cars been in Eurovision?
I don't know. I haven't seen all of Eurovision.
Car's been in the video clip.
Ooh, which car?
Ooh.
T76, and it was a band, an Australian band called Weddings, Parties, Anything.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah.
And my car was in the background in that video clip.
Your actual car?
Cool. Yep.
That's cool.
Even Deb and I were in it.
No.
What song was it?
Something day. What was it? There was one of the bigger ones.
Is anything? I'm gonna just Google them.
It's been a long time. It was 30 years ago plus.
But well,
is
well,
it put way away.
No.
Step in, step out.
I'll find it in a second. I'll tell you.
Father's Day, Monday's experts.
That's the one. Back.
Father's Day. All right.
There you go.
We'll be
doing some Googling of that later.
So the band flew my car over to Eurovision Land, and they're using it for and they've magically cut two holes in the roof to make it a T-bar now. So when I saw that, I was like, this is the best day of my life. Like this just personifies that Mark 1 MR2s, AW11s are the coolest car in the world. End of story. They get to go to Eurovision. So, enough said. I'm actually going to drive it maybe tomorrow or Thursday for the rest of the week. Because the XR8 mum wanted to take out, so she's taking that out. And that is pretty much it on my end with cars. Oh no, I had the laser serviced on Friday. It did 10,000 k's really quickly this year. So,
sorry, Matthew. You need to be more specific. Which laser?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do now. Don't I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The my laser, the SR2, to be exact.
The OG.
Correct. The OG. So that will get some love. And was looking at options to paint it and stuff in a little bit of a distant future. So we'll get to that at some point. But anyway. Moving on to tonight's topic is I gave you guys a challenge, $7,500 or less. Find the most obscure car for sale at the moment. Now, obscure as in weird and wonderful, something that you don't see every day. So it can't be your standard, Civic, Falcon, I don't know, Commodore, basic, Toyota Camry. It has to be something very obscure and something different that you say, hey, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. Oh, that's very weird. So, now, Mr. Prince, I don't know how you're going to work it on your end. Are you going to take any? Are you going
I know,
to say?
I know it was tricky.
Are you going to say, "Well, these are cars from my part of the world where you currently are," or are you going to?
I just jump on car sales.
That is correct.
Well, that's what I ended up doing. I did a bit of a look around. I mean, there's so many obscure and bizarre things. So $7,500. What that's about. About 4,000 Aussie dollars.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's about 4,000 pounds. Sorry, 7,500 Australian, about 4,000 pounds. So anything under 4,000 pounds over here sort of resembles Swiss cheese, it seems. Mm-hmm. The climate is very unfriendly. Casting the net a bit wider down south, Sean sent me, he's often fiddling around with the old, looking at old stuff, but he sent me a photo the other day where Marketplace had for a Rover 400 station wagon, which is basically a Honda Concerto station wagon, which I've never even knew existed. So that was pretty cool. That was £1,000, but that's right down the other end of the UK, where they don't get as much snow, so or salt on the road. So I mean they're sort of a bit better down south. But no, so I actually went on car sales. But the most obscure thing I came across with a quick look, judging by my search history, there's a manual W202 for sale for $7,500 at the moment.
So David, are you able to share that with us? Because we or are you on your phone?
Yeah, it's a bit tricky because I'm actually just doing it on my okay. on my phone. So little tricky, but if you search about W202 C180, it's actually a 180, but it looks like a sport. It's color coded a bit. It's got monoblocks on it and things like that. 300,000 Ks though, but definitely a manual C180. I didn't know they sold them in a manual in Australia.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Okay, there you go. That would be a rare thing. Rare.
That was sort of a bit of a special order. They're rare, and they also did them in the W203, the peanut eye shaped C class you could get manual.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Very rare.
Have you ever driven a 202 manual, Ed?
I haven't, but the manual Benzes, I had a 201 manual, and they're not.
I know. I remember you saying.
They're not nice manuals. You know, it's not like a Honda slick, beautiful, silky gearbox. They're clunky and rubbery, and they don't really suit the motors. You know, the gearing was always too long-legged. You know, it was geared for Autobahn use, and so I'm pretty sure that a 202 and a 201 and a 203 are all good. 203 would be better because it was compressor, you know, so they had a bit more to them. But the 201 and the 202 as a manual, it just wouldn't suit it, or didn't suit the 201, certainly.
I remember about 10 years ago, I was at a car park and I was hopped out of my car and I was parked next to a 203. And I closed the door and glanced inside, and it was a manual, and I freaked out. I was like, holy crap, I have not seen a manual 203 ever. So they are out there. They do exist.
They exist, yeah.
Mm. In that price range, though, I've picked up a couple of classic magazines over here, and everything's just hideously priced. I mean, anything, there's a 97 MX-5 over here for £18,000. So that's
what's so good about that? Why is that so pricey?
Oh, it's 16,000 miles from new.
That'll do it.
Low mileage. But, yeah, everything's just nuts. I mean, anything old Voxy, like campers or anything like that, they're crazy. But what are cheap, and I thought of you, Ed, the SLK compressors, the early cars. And a lot of those over here are manual, you know, far more than we would have ever got. Far more manuals than autos in most things, actually.
Yeah.
So that is pretty cool about the stuff over here. All the rent, you know, a lot of the rental stuff's, you know, manual too. You know, you've really got to sort of ask for an auto.
Funny, it's such a cultural thing. It's just
exactly.
Funny how that's the case here, and we're so lazy and just want big fat autos.
The funny thing, I was talking to Em about it yesterday. My mother-in-law's got a very good friend over in Melbourne who's Scottish. She was born in Glasgow. She's 92, and she still drives her manual diesel Golf every day.
Manual diesel Golf. Is that an old 70s Golf or like a newer Golf?
No, about an 04, 05. That sort of vintage. That she bought it new, and she's only ever driven manual cars.
Yeah.
So,
Respect.
So you're right. It's totally cultural, there's nearly everything over here is still available as a manual, except when I was at the Honda dealer yesterday, all the new Honda hybrids are all autos. You can't get a manual in the new Civics or HRVs over here now. So, or the CRVs for that matter, they're all hybrid over here.
So tell us about your 202. So it's a $7,500 C180 manual 220K? Yep.
300 Ks.
Oh, 300 Ks.
It's anthracite, so the dark colour, but with the AMG monoblock wheels on it. So when I first saw it, I thought, oh, that's a sport. But no, I mean, you look inside and it's got the wood trim rather than the carbon fibre look trim and that sort of thing. So had leather and stuff, quite tidy. But, yeah, $7,500, I thought, well, that's not cheap for a 202. There's plenty around the 4 and 5 mark still. But being a manual, I thought, well, that's an interesting spec. on the same page, there was a 2009 Chrysler Sebring convertible.
Yeah, let's move on.
More obscure than that. Yeah, yeah. I thought you would. I said you would buy it, but you were looking for obscure, so that's pretty obscure.
That is very obscure.
4K. Ugh.
They were a miserable car.
I know, absolutely miserable. It'd be fascinating to see if he's got any if they've got any interest in it at all. I mean, what sort of person would? Well, that could be a good buy. Look at that, 4,000 Ks for a 2009 convertible, but it's a Chrysler Sebring. It looks absolutely hideous, and it's
horrendous car. Scotty, you can share your screen if you want.
All righty. I didn't really have too long in searching, so it's probably not really obscure, but, you know, I was putting a lot of effort into tonight's quizzy quiz.
Mm.
I was too busy doing that. But can we see that?
We can. I saw this car.
Oh, the diesel.
Diesel.
Ah, the diesel.
I was just quickly glancing, having a look. As I said, I didn't have too long to spend to search. And I don't know, for some reason, I'm just staying with the Mercedes from last time. I'm gone a little bit bigger. I've moved away from the C-Class and E-Class. So this is a 2001 Mercedes E-Class, so E270, and it is the diesel. So it's got the 5-cylinder turbo diesel, which can't really go wrong with. I mean, it's only got 191,000 Ks on it. That's nothing. Still got plenty left in it, which is actually pretty low for something that's 2001. So it's not too bad. Actually looks pretty clean. I mean, if you're into that interior, I mean, it's that creamy caramel kind of interior. Actually, it's pretty clean. Like, it's held up quite well. I would have expected to look way dirtier than it does. But I can see that they've really looked after this car. And the roof lining, like everything.
They're quite hard wearing, those Benz interiors.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they're taxis back home, you know.
Yeah.
Even the engine bay looks really, really clean for what it is. They've got some mats in the back and some, you can see they got it from Silver Star Doncaster. And a whole bunch of logbook and everything in there too. So that is my pick. I mean, I'm not sure.
Not that weird though, is it? Doesn't this have to be weird?
It's obscure.
I know it's not really obscure. It's the best I could find. As I said, I was kind of spending a bit more time.
It's medium obscure. Medium.
It's medium.
It's just medium. Then
I like the car, Scotty. I like the car.
I just don't see too many of the diesel ones. I thought, oh, I don't see many of the diesel ones pop up. So, you know, I thought I'd just throw that on there anyway.
I've got a newfound respect for a 210. You know, after Edwards had one. So,
I was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, oh, no, I did. I had that silver one.
Yeah.
I get it up for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I bought and sold that. That drove really well.
It drove really well.
I have three.
You've had three.
Well, I've got three. I've got three at the moment.
Three now?
At the moment, yeah.
You got the, hang on, you got the AMG one.
Yeah, E36 AMG, E430, and E320.
All make an E430 as well. And an
E320, yeah.
That's a recent one, though, the E320.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot you had an E430. I don't think I knew about that.
Yeah, that, all W210s, all in silver.
You are a sick puppy, Holly.
What a great idea. It's one. All you need is one number plate.
Quick release screws. Just
Edward.
I have just, again, not done my homework soon enough, but I've just chosen a, I've never seen one of these, and I doubt it's factory, but it sort of looks factory. 1976 Mazda 121, which is your big coupe 121, not your little 121.
Is that a convertible one? Yeah, I saw that.
It's a convertible, and it looks factory because of the way the bower, well, if it was a BMW, it'd be a bower, like the cabriolet section looks. Yeah, so I'm like, and you guys might remember, David and Rob, maybe, but is that a factory thing?
I've never seen a factory cab. It might well be the Landau roof version that would have been easier to cut. Oh, gosh, look at that. Oh, yeah.
it sort of looks correct, but maybe not. Anyway, I've never seen one. So I thought
I've never seen one.
It's $5,000. It needs a bit of work, but it is a convertible 70s 121 piece of rareness. And it's in ACT, should you want to go and get it.
ACT?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Canberra, David. Canberra.
Yeah, yeah, no, good for cars. Good for cars, Canberra.
Tarago came from Canberra.
Indeed.
Good climate, good roads. We like Canberra cars. Yep. And dare I say it, a conservative type of person, usually.
Usually, but then has a Mazda with a convertible Mazda.
Yeah, 121.
If you're not in the industry or the fireworks industry, the chances are the car's okay.
Yes. Robin Harley, which one? What car did you guys get for this?
I'll send it to you in the chat.
Yep, yeah, I'll share it.
It's a Mercedes, but a different type of Mercedes.
Hang on, I want to share my screen, gentlemen. Oh, all right, this is good.
Drum roll. Whoa! Geez, you just stuck in with the budget. You're $5 under. $5
under the budget, 155,000 kilometers.
Oh.
We know someone that's got one, don't we, David Prince?
We do. I could hook you up with one of those if you'd really like one, Harley.
No. It's obscure.
It's very obscure. So what is it, Harley? This is a 2005 Smart 4.4.
Yep. So it's a 4.4 version of a smart car. It's got a, just reading, it's got actually Mitsubishi Mercedes developed engine.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, 6-speed auto.
And there are really some obscure things like the brake discs are shared with a Colt and things like that. Right. So there's quite a bit of crossover as far as the bits go. They came to 1.3 or 1.5. And mostly plastic. All those hang-on parts are plastic, obviously. Even the roof panel is plastic in them. Hands down, probably one of the worst cars I've ever driven.
Really? That bad?
It's got the one Smart do really weird gearboxes, and it's got this sort of pre-selecting automatic mode that sort of retards the process of the car and changes the gears. Just does nothing about it makes sense. The Brabus edition, however, came as a full manual, and that was a far nicer little thing, I think.
Yeah, that'd be a cool thing to own, but I think that'd be a bit more than this one. But this has got a...
Yes, I'd say so.
They put Apple CarPlay in it. It's available for viewing it in North Fitzroy or the Mornington Peninsula. Series buyers only. There you go.
They like to do a bit of highway running in the little Smart 4.4.
Obviously.
You know, Fitzroy to Mornington, that thing hasn't been up on blocks.
All right, so what do we got? We've got the Smart 4.4. We've got the diesel 210. We've got a 202 manual. Edward, your car. Oh, yeah. Sorry, was the 121?
What about Alex's car?
Yeah, I'm getting to Alex. Now, Alex, your car.
Yes. So I found one, which is a Lada Niva for $7,500.
Ahoy.
Very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
You like a Niva. You've been banging on about them recently.
I saw one at Highball and I've taken to them.
So, by all accounts, they're a
Miserable 164 wasn't bad enough. Now you want a Lada.
And I'm bought Peter Brock himself.
Yeah, there was a Brock edition. Oh, there was a Brock edition. No word of a lie.
No word of a lie. And the there was a Cabrio Niva as well.
So just make sure when you buy one, Alex, make sure you put a was it the polarizer?
Energy polarizer.
Yeah.
Need one of those.
I'll get you some mint jelly from the supermarket and a few fridge magnets and put them in a lunchbox and you sort of got the same thing.
Yeah. Make the Soviet flag on the roof.
You know, I was speaking to a guy. He came into work, and he had a, I think it was a VK Brock of some description, and it had a you know, the polarizer box. And anyway, he took it in to get some work done to his friend of all people. Anyway, the car was there for a while. He goes in to pick it up, and he drives it home and looks under the bonnet or wherever the box was, and it was missing. And he's like, mate, you took my energy polarizer. He's like, no, I didn't. He's like, mate, it was on the car when I gave it to you. Like, you know, you're taking the piss now. Where is it? He's like, I didn't take it. Anyway, like a bit of a fight ensued. Not punching on, but like, you know, not ideal nice words were used. He's like, screw it, I'll just buy another one to fill the hole. He's like, I know it does nothing, but it you know, there's a spot for it, so I want to put it there. Jumps online and like they're over, like, I think he said $3,000. And he's like, this is the joke. He's like, I may as well make one out of cardboard and just stick it in there. He's like, I'm gonna pay the $3,000. But he's like, I guess this is what people pay for when they want one. So he's like, every time I take my, he ended up buying one. He's like, every time I take my car anywhere, I take the energy polarizer out. Just like, put it aside. So nobody can nick it.
Yeah, that's bad behavior.
Now I had a few cars, but I've chosen my real obscure one. Now who likes small little Japanese cars? I do. Hands up.
Yes.
I think even Rob's coming around to the Scamp as much as he despises it currently. So what I have is a 1982 Daihatsu Handy Van.
Nice.
I saw that. I like them.
So this is a really cool, funky little car. It actually looks really tidy. The plastics all look pretty good. So this is $6,990. And it's kind of like Tofu Fujiwara spec on the side with the Japanese writing. And I'll just pretend that says like really fast in Japanese, but I don't really know. But it actually looks really tidy. I mean, it's some of the paint's a bit how you're going, but again, it is.
It's got patina.
It's got patina, but it's all there. So the back end's, you know, it's a van, really. It's a handy van, as they say. But it's not really rotted out or anything. It actually looks really tidy. The carpet's good. I mean, it's got seat covers on it, but I'm assuming the seats are trash underneath. But it looks pretty damn original and pretty damn clean. So
I've seen much worse.
Oh yeah, I've seen ones that are like virtually falling apart. So needs a roof liner, but that's an easy job.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's got a picture of the side. I didn't see this picture. I didn't get this far, but yeah, the seats look okay. They're not perfect, but it looks like it's got a fresh battery in there. And it looks like it's been well loved, this car. So I think they might have had it as a what's it called, a promotional van for this place. But it's got a 550cc two cylinder engine. So it's slightly bigger than the engine in my Scamp. So it's basically really nice little original car, and I found it quite cute. My other option was this. I'm just coming back in a moment when it decides to load. Should be nice. 85 Hilux in green to match my Fiesta at $7,500. And my last option was a white Lightning.
The Leica.
Yeah, with 432,000 Ks, but two owners since new, and it's been.
I saw that.
I like that.
Yeah, so the white Lightning is very rare. I think the only one of 500 made. I know a guy that had one. They got
two photos, Matty. I want to see the inside of that car. Is that any good?
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's very original. Original. It's got the original CD. That's original tape deck, like my MR2. So I'll go through it. I mean, it needs a bit of love, but it's all good. As you'll see, the photos as we'll go through it. The wheels probably do with a refurb because they're not as white as they should be. But as you go through,
we love a high mileage Toyota here.
I love a high mileage. So for those playing at home, this has got the 3SGE. Which is it looks to be the original motor in there. It's just had a whole bunch of work done. So it had the rocker cover gasket done, etc. But no cuts in the parcel shelf. The boot looks really clean. Interior looks spotless. So I was really impressed with the actual interior of this car. So I would have said this, but it's got documents and documents and documents. And as I said, I owned the last guy for 15 years and the previous owner for like 20 years. So
I'm liking that very much.
So, and that's also $7,500. So basically it's got, Tom Bell has been replaced, an engine, and this engine and drivetrain has another 150,000 Ks of life after that one's been done. So that's also been done. So basically, yeah, really, really cool, cool little car, for $7,500. And I think that'll be really good.
I don't like how they've put a time limit on it. Like, it's got another 150,000 Ks of life. It might go more than that. It might do a million.
In terms of the timing belt, I think you were saying so.
Oh, okay. Timing belt.
Recently had valve covers, cam seals, new gaskets, new shocks, new brake pads. So a really cool way to get into a Japanese sports car. But
that's my vote. I'm voting for that.
Well, that's not my car. My car's the handy van, Edward.
Oh, I thought that was your car.
They were my other options, but my car's the handy van. So let's run through them. We've got the handy van. We've got the diesel 210. We've got the manual 202. We've got the Mazda 121 convertible, but not the convertible.
Cabriolet.
Not the one most people think of. We've also got Alex's Smart 4-4, and
Alex had the Lada.
Oh, sorry, the Lada. Sorry, the Lada, and Robin Harley's Smart 4-4, and my little handy van. Where is your money going if you had $75, which I don't have? Where is your money going, and what would you be buying, Scotty Doe?
There's a lot to choose from this time around.
It's actually hard because there's some really good cars in this pick.
I am going to go with yours this time, Maddie.
Oh, okay. Why?
There's just something cute about it. I don't know. There's something about...
There's poetry that needs to be delivered. That's why.
it spoke to me. As Ed was saying, even if you put up the white lightning one, I would have gone for that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. David.
Oh, so we can't go for the white lightning.
No. I should have just chosen the white lightning. I would have won at this point. But I've gone for the handy van because it's cool.
Okay. Yeah, I've driven handy vans and you're onto a better thing with the Scamp, I've got to tell you.
Okay.
I think I'd go the Lada Niva.
What?
Experience a bit of glasnost.
There you go. One vote to Alex, one vote to the handy van. Very good. Rob.
Handy van.
Handy van, straight off the bat, handy van. And Harley?
Oh, I'd probably go for, I like a 210, so I like Scotty's, like, diesel, safe, nice, that'll do a million miles, like a million kilometers, that car.
Yeah. Okay.
But it doesn't fit your color palette.
So it doesn't fit. If it was silver, then it'd be perfect.
I was going to say, what you can do, you can have the whole set. You can go buy it, and we'll paint it silver, and, you know. Yeah, and
practice my rapping skills.
It breaks your So one 210, one handy van. Sorry, two handy van, one Lada Niva. Edward Bunting.
I'm a bit torn.
Okay, Natalie and Brulia, just pick one. Just pick a car.
I think I'm going to go the Lada. It's so intriguing and simple, and I sort of like the idea of it off road.
And it's very unattractive car.
Very unattractive car, yes.
But Brock enhanced. Remember, Brock enhanced. And...
Oh, not that one. That one was a plain Jane. Yeah.
Alex.
I'm going to go for the heartbeat A5 pot.
Yeah, look.
Ooh, these two for the
diesel. And it's turbo as well.
All good things.
Mm-hmm. You'd boost the hell out of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, put a manual in.
So, all right. So two for the diesel, two for the Niva, two for the handy van. Yeah, and I wasn't going to pick the handy van, but I feel like I should now. I kind of like the Lada Niva, to be honest with you. So I'm going to pick the Lada Niva.
Whoa.
Oh, the Lada as well.
Lada. Well done, Alex. You get the win.
Wow.
I suppose I'd better
go. Well sourced.
I suppose you better go out and buy it now. That's for sure. Yeah. So well done, mate. That was really cool. Have any of you guys actually driven a Light on Eva?
Never.
No.
No.
Never.
I've driven a couple, like, just work wise. I've moved them around and stuff.
Been in one.
Very agricultural from memory.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike that, but didn't break down. Like the only Nikki that I've ever driven broke down on the test drive. So.
Oh, Nikki's they're hilarious. Did you put it in H and then and do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, it's time for the car quiz. Now, Scotty introduced this new format of the car quiz last week, and I think it was quite clever. So, Scotty, introduce Scotty's version of the car quiz. Introduce the rules and how it works, and then basically we'll get into the car quiz before the show finishes.
All right. So this car quiz, last week it was all about car movies. This time it's a bit of a mix. So it's got some cars and also car movies. So I thought I'd mix it up a bit. But the way this quiz works is each question, you can get a maximum of 3 points. So I'll give you a question, and that first one will be worth 3 points. If you can't get that 3-point question and you've had a go at that 3 points, you have to wait and you can't chime back in until the 1 point. Ooh. And it gets easier and easier. So 3 points starts hard. Then you got 2 points with a little bit more extra on hints towards what it might be. And then you move into the 1 point where you can try and have a punt on that one. If you have a go during the two points and you get it wrong, that's okay. You're still in it for the 1 point. Okay. It's just the 3 points. So if you go for that 3 point, you don't get it. You're out.
One answer.
High risk, high reward, Edward. High risk, high reward.
So should I be trying to answer straight away? Is that what I should try?
Well, that's it's up to you.
Just if you want to take it straight away, then when I go to the 2 points and you know it, too bad. You have to wait until I get to the 1 point that question.
So I either answer at 3 points or at 1 point.
Correct. Correct. Or if you don't try for the 3 point, you can go for the 2 point.
The 2 point or the one.
Or the 1 point.
What if I try for the two? Can I go for the two, but then I'm out?
No. If you go for the two, you get it wrong.
Get it wrong. You can still go for the one. That's fine.
All right. But if I try the three, I can't just go for the two. I've got to wait till the one.
Yeah, because it's high risk, high reward.
Very confusing. Yep.
So
it is a little bit, but it'll make sense when you start playing it. Promise. All righty. So let's get into this. This first one is a car. It is not a movie, okay?
Okay.
So for 3 points... I was first released in 1998 and am sold around the world.
I mean, it's not narrowing it down, is it? Really?
Really? Some of them I've kind of mixed it up a little bit where 3 points can be gettable, but to start you off, I don't want 3 points to be that gettable.
98 sold everywhere.
E46.
Ooh, Alex is having a 3-point crack.
Mm. Is that an official guess, Alex?
Yes.
You got to say Alex.
Alex, E46.
BMW E46 3 Series.
No, unfortunately wrong.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
You can't do the 2-pointer.
2 points. I am currently in my fourth generation. Currently in my fourth generation, and I am owned by an American company.
Don't know.
I was going to say Prius, but when you said American company, I was like, oh, no, it's not. Fourth generation. Is it sold here, Scott? Like you said it's around the world, but is it actually sold here?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
98.
Definitely sold in Europe.
Okay, okay. Looking out the window. Yep. Yep, okay.
Ed.
Ed.
Is it a Jeep?
No, not a Jeep, unfortunately.
You took great.
Is it like,
you
are we talking a specific model or a model range or a
model?
Okay, okay.
Yep.
No, I've got no idea.
All right. For 1 point, I am made by Ford.
It's David.
Matthew.
David.
Oh.
Is it the Ford Explorer?
Well, not the Ford Explorer, unfortunately.
Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew.
It's the Ford Escape.
No, not the Escape. Geez, I hope I got these clues correct, yeah? If not, we'll just make it 9 questions. They'd want to have a crack.
Around the world.
What is it? What is it again?
So, came out 1998. It's in its 4th generation. And it's made by Ford.
Made by Ford. What Ford came out in 1998 was sold around the world? Ford Taurus.
Oh, I know what it is. I know. I don't
know. Not Taurus, unfortunately. Sorry.
I know what it is, but yeah. Go, everybody else have a guess, and then I'll guess for like no.
Ford Focus.
Yeah.
Spot on. It was a Ford Focus.
Well done.
Okay, well, that was really hard, Scott. So, like, other one's not as hard.
So, okay. David, you get that point, don't you? Because you didn't guess on the one, right?
Yeah, that was my. I guessed on the 2. That's right.
Yeah, so you get the 1. No, 1 point to David.
What time is it in Scotland, David?
It is. It must be about just after 11. However many minutes after.
Oh.
8 is over there. It's after 11 in the morning.
That's not too bad. That's all right. That's amicable.
9 hours behind.
Where's everyone else? What are they doing?
I think Kath and Em have gone for a walk. Sean's at work.
Oh.
Is that right?
House to himself.
House to myself.
Lovely.
Nice. All right. Question 2. This is another car. All right. So for 3 points, I was first released in 1972 in Japan.
Ed.
Ed.
Honda Civic.
Oh, well done. 3 points to you.
Well done.
Well done.
Ed gets 3 there. Well done.
Yes. High risk, high reward.
Yes. I don't need to say the 2 points. The next one is I'm into my 11th generation. That was for 2 points.
There you go.
That's a giveaway.
Yeah.
And for 1 point, I am a popular car that came in hatchbacks, sedans, coupes, and wagons.
Mm-hmm.
So the Civic came in a whole bunch. All right, now we're going to move into a movie.
A movie featuring car or something.
Correct. It will have something to do with cars, or cars will be the main part of it or something that. Yes. So this is for 3 points. I'm a 1971 movie directed by Steven Spielberg.
David.
David?
Was it Christine?
Not Christine, sorry.
Ed.
Ed?
Oh, can I still guess for 3 points?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
The Cars That Ate Paris.
No, it's not.
That was Peter Weir.
Yeah, well, whatever.
All right, so I've got only 2 people that can, or 3 people, that can have a crack at this 2 point part.
Yep.
So for 2 points, the main car in this movie is a Plymouth Valiant sedan.
Oh.
So it's nothing special. It's not a hotted up car or anything, just a Plymouth Valiant sedan.
So 1971 Plymouth Valiant sedan is the clue.
Yep. directed by Steven Spielberg.
I honestly don't know. No. I'm out for that one.
Take a guess, Rob.
Yep.
Was it Duel?
Yeah, spot on. That was Duel.
Yeah. Well done, Rob.
Good work.
Remember the car, well, but done. Yeah, it was touch and go.
Yeah, good on you. The
score check.
For 1 point, it was going to be features a tanker truck trying to run them off the road.
Score check. David 1, Edward 3, Rob on 2, Alex and myself yet to score.
Ba-bow.
My question number 4. This is another movie. I'm pretty sure I put in more movies than cars, but that's all right. This is for 3 points. This movie was released in 2019 and based on a true story.
Wait, Scott, you blanked out there. Could you repeat the question?
Oh, did I? Yeah. Oh, okay. So for 3 points, this movie was released in 2019 and is based on a true story.
Rob. Ed.
I heard Rob first.
Damn. Gran Torino.
No, unfortunately, Ed. It's not.
Ed. Ford versus Ferrari.
Correct. Well done.
Oh, good get.
Gran Torino was a good film. That was Clint Eastwood.
It was Clint Eastwood.
That was a good one.
That was a bit older, though. That's sort of 6, 7 years, maybe 8 years now.
Yeah.
That old already? Jeez.
Yeah.
Was quick.
All right. Question 5. Okay. Question 5 is back to cars. So for 3 points, I went into production in 97 and finished my run before a new model came out in 2006. I am German.
97 to 2006.
Harley? Is it an Audi TT?
No, not an Audi TT, unfortunately.
Alex?
Yes, Alex?
996? Alex. 911?
No, it's not.
That's what I was thinking, Alex.
Shall we jump to 2 points?
Yes.
Okay, for 2 points, I came with a 1.6 or a 2 liter or even a 3.2. And I had diesel variants in 2 liters and a 2.9 and 3.
Matthew?
'97
E46 BMW.
Correct.
Whoa. Good get.
It was the E46.
We never got the.
Must have came out like right at the end of 97.
Yeah. Well, they still, correct me if I'm wrong, Edward, but they still sold E36s a little bit later, right?
E36s or
E46s? E36s a little bit like into the E46s run. Like,
well, they always did, because the Cabriolet versions and the wagon versions, if they ever came here, they were always not on the same. Schedule exactly as the sedans. So like when E90 came out in 2005 here, they were still selling E46 coupe and cabriolets, was still the current 3 series before the new coupe cabriolet came out. So, or coupe convertible, I should say. So there's always a bit of an overlap, and Mercedes were the same, but the wagon versions weren't quite on the same timeline as the sedans.
Interesting.
Hmm.
All righty. Let's jump into question number 6, and we're back to movies again.
Movies.
Here we go for 3 points. This movie was released in 1971 and directed by Richard C. Serafian. I don't want to ruin his last name, but that's how I read it.
Sorry, which year, Scotty?
1971.
71, yeah.
Matthew? The original Gone in 60 Seconds.
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
Good guess, though, because I think it came out around about then. Maybe a little bit later.
I was trying to think, it was Mac 1 Mustang they used, like an early 70s, an early 70s Mac 1. And I was like, oh, it might have been too early for that. But anyway.
Mm. Good guess.
Great car chase, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It goes on for ages, that car chase. Brilliant.
Ed. Bullet.
Not Bullet, I'm afraid. All right, so let's move to 2 points. The star car in this movie is a 1970 Dodge Challenger, 440 Magnum, and it is supercharged.
Harley. Vanishing point.
Yeah, vanishing point. Well done.
Well done.
Ooh, very nice.
All right, score check, gentlemen. Myself on 2, Robin Harley are on 4, Edward on 6, David on 1, Alex set the score. Still anybody's game?
Come on, Alex.
Okay. If you haven't seen Vanishing
Point. I'm trying. You sound like Tom.
All right, we're back to a car this time, not a movie. For 3 points, I only lasted 3 generations and I was first released in 1999.
Mm.
Oh,
God.
Ed.
No, that's wrong. Oh, maybe it isn't. Holden Vectra.
No.
That was 2 generations, Bunting. 2 generations, thank you.
Yeah, it's just a stab.
I'm a Vectra connoisseur.
Thankfully, that's not the answer to any question. On
the answer to a question no one ever asked.
I'm just trying to think if this car began in 99. But like the car I'm thinking of, it did go over 3 generations, so I'm going to have a punt. Is it the Audi TT?
No.
Why is everyone obsessed with the Audi TT tonight?
Well, because it had 3 generations.
Damn car get mentioned as much as in this podcast.
Maybe you should buy it.
Get out.
Well, it had 3 generations and when was it from around then, so.
Come on then, Al.
Crickets. KN, is it? No, they were later.
And they're still going.
No, I'm not sure.
Ba-pow. Next.
Okay, for 2 points, everyone's in because I just had a look. It is 3 generations, but it's a bit of a trick question. So I'm going to – it's kind of 2 but not 3. I'll explain it at the end, but I'll let everyone back in.
All right.
So my apologies, but I'll explain it. So this is for 2 points, everyone's in. I am a hybrid electric car.
Ed.
Oh.
Toyota Prius.
No, not the Prius.
Matthew. That'd be the Honda Insight.
Yes, the Honda Insight. So we know there was 2 that generations. That's
a trick question.
Yes, because there was a Honda Insight prototype and that debuted in 2018, which was like the 3rd generation. And yeah, so my apologies on that bit. So there kind of was, but not at the same time. Yes, so my apologies on that one. That's why I let everyone back in for that last one.
You're forgiven. It's all good.
Yes, sorry about that one. Question 8 is also another car. So, for 3 points, I began my life in 1994 and has just released my 6th generation model in India, which is called the Verna.
Ooh.
God.
96.
Is it a car? What is it?
Oh, what is it?
My car is
called the Verna with venereal disease. Oh, I don't know. That's... oh, geez.
Don't know.
Verna. How many generations, Scotty? Six.
Into its sixth now. And this sixth one pretty much only just released in India, and they call it the Verna.
Is it only available in India, or is it available around the world? Just out of curiosity.
It was originally available everywhere, yes. Mm-hmm. Except India have just continued with it, and they've always called it the Verna.
Okay. I'll have a punt. Is it a Suzuki?
Not a Suzuki, no.
Okay.
I'm going to hang out for the two. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
All right. 2 points. I am built in South Korea.
Hyundai XL.
I'll give it to you. Yes.
Oh, what?
XL or the Hyundai Accent. It went by quite a few different names.
When it was launched.
So, yeah, in XL. So interesting. I didn't realize it had so many names. Especially also called the Verna, and that it's still going.
It was also called, I believe, Chevrolet something. But the badge engineering was so bad. It still had Hyundai badging on the car, except it had a Chevrolet badge at the bottom. In one part of the
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Badge engineering over here is incredible. It's very entertaining looking at things and realizing there's something totally different.
All righty. This one is our second last question, question number 9, and we're jumping back into movies again. So, for 3 points, this movie was released in 1983. It is a supernatural horror movie.
Matthew? What is that? Is it Christine?
Yes.
God.
Yeah.
Thought that.
The one that David said earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When you said that earlier, I was like, ooh, just let's see if he gets it when it pops up a bit later on.
All right. Score check for the last question.
It's the time delay. It's my excuse.
Time delay. score check. David 1, Edward on 8. Rob on 4, Rob and Harley on 4, Alex on 0, and myself on 7.
Anyone's game.
Not mine.
All right, this is our last one, and it's a movie to finish off. Question 10 for 3 points. I'm an action movie that came out in 2002, and later on down the track, it became a TV series.
Don't know.
So you said action movie that turned into a film franchise. So into a TV show.
Correct. And the movie came out in 2002.
I don't know.
No, I'm out for 3.
Ed. Cars.
No, unfortunately.
No.
Okay, we're ready for the 2 points. So for 2 points, the car used in this movie was an Audi A8 W12.
David.
Matthew.
David.
Ah!
Was it the Transporter?
Spot on, correct.
Oh. Finally.
Nailed it. Yes, it was the Transporter. It did turn into a TV series that was awful, and there were several other movies to go with it too. But yeah, they made a TV series out of it.
You are correct. It's...
Oh, wow. That no one watched.
Yeah.
score check. Alex 0, David 3, Rob 4, myself on 7, and tonight's winner on a grand total of 8. Is Mr. Edward Bunting. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Well done.
Thanks, Scotty. That was most interesting.
High risk, high reward, David. And Mr. Bunting.
That's how we roll.
I hope you enjoyed it.
It was
good. Neither is high risk.
Mm.
Don't know about the reward.
Someone still owes someone $50, I think.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Don't I? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you listen back to
life, whenever I see you, Matty. Whenever I see you, mate. Whenever I see you.
Yeah. So what was going to happen is like, hey, Scotty, what are you doing tonight? Oh, you know, I've got, you know, my goldfish's birthday and my
doctoral.
Simba turned 4 and we're celebrating. And yeah. No, sorry, mate. I, you know, it's family comes first, you know. So there can only be so many times Simba turns 4, Scott. Only can there be so many times.
I rock up to a car show. I'm like, I'm here, Matty. I'm just, where are you? You're like, I'm there. I'm down the back now, too. Oh, I'm at the front of the car show now, Matty. Come meet me there. I'll just keep.
No,
I'm over next to the Ford, Matt. Oh, I've moved. Not there now, mate.
For some context, you've got to listen back to the last show because what was the question, Scotty? You're like, I guarantee no one will get this, and I got it. And he was like, bloody hell.
It was the one with the number plate of the Dodge Charger from Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Maddie knew it. Far out.
Pretty sure that's what the question was, and you got it. I was like, there's no way someone's going to get this for 3 points, but I'll chuck it in there anyway.
Yep, I was...
you got it.
So $50, mate. I'm expecting it when I see you next time. Gentlemen, I think that's a podcast. We'll get some plugs before we go. Rob's Firefighting Fabrication, Rust Repairs, Electrical, Mechanical, Gardening. What else have you done recently? Plumbing?
Plumbing,
yep.
Stump grinding, you name it.
Yep. Hit up our boy there. I believe David and Mr. Edward do a podcast.
David, you could talk about that from Scotland.
From Scotland. Yes, we do a podcast called Auto Retro, where we talk to people about the cars of their lives, and we're looking forward to getting back into it once I get back into the country. And a big shout out to Sean and Emily for the use of their spare room as the studio for the overseas correspondent.
Mm. Scotty, golf tip of the week.
Yes, so this one's pretty straightforward, but when you're lining up to hit the ball, make sure you're standing right with your arms. Don't be too outstretched and don't be too tucked into your body. That's where you're going to start slicing and drawing it. So have a look out there. There's plenty of videos to help you address how to stand next to the golf ball and how to have your golf club out there. I can't really explain it. It's something you kind of need to see. But, yeah, if you're kind of slicing, hooking it a lot, double check that to make sure you're standing right and you're not too close to the ball and you're not stretching out too far away.
Yep, absolutely. You heard it here first. You know, that very important information. Thank you, Scotty. That's it's really important.
Wunderbar.
More than welcome. That's why I'm
and, you know, you're doing God's work. Now, like and share our Facebook page with that's Car Talk, T-O-R-Q. Manny J, if you missed any of our previous episodes, they are all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to our Teespring store. Go to teespring.com. Type in Car Talk store. Buy some merch to support the show there. Or you can support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. So go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast and support the show there. Hi to our fellow patrons. Gentlemen, lovely as always. I will see you next time. Take it easy.
Oil.
Yeah.
Bye.